Church says, amen. Listen, we are in, you know, remember, if you weren't here with us last time, or maybe you're tuning in live and you are just now with us, and you weren't here for last Sunday's service, I really encourage you to listen to that, go online and listen to it, the introduction to Hebrews, because there's so much there, and that way you have a proper footing and foundation for these 13 chapters we're going to cover. Remember that this this book, if you will, which is called, or some people call it, scholars call it, the Leviticus of the New Testament. And it really is, because you'll never understand Hebrews totally unless you understand Leviticus. And so I encourage you to be reading that. Remember that there was a danger going on with the Hebrews. It's addressed to Hebrew believers. And there was some danger in either them returning to Judaism or some form of Judaism, or perhaps trying to bring Judaism into grace. We're not sure. But we know in Hebrews 5:12, it tells us that these believers, the Jewish believers, they were not progressing, they were regressing, because the writer of Hebrews, who I believe to be Paul, and whoever it was, it doesn't matter, he says, listen, you should be teachers by now. But you can't handle solid food anymore. You have to go back and be on a milk diet. Boy, we need to keep growing, amen? And so with all that being said, the writer of Hebrews, he writes this, and he gives us the reason at the very end of Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 22 or 23, right in that area. He says, receive this letter, if you will, this letter of exhortation. The word exhortation, we get the Greek word there, parakletos, where it means to come alongside of and encourage, or to strengthen and help. So this book was written, if you will, to encourage the Hebrew believers and every generation, amen? It wasn't written to scare them to death with these five warnings that people have read, believers have read, and think, oh, I can lose my salvation, but I can't go into that now because I covered it all in depth last Sunday. But the thing that this is about, this book, it's about us running the race. Amen? It's about us finishing, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. And Hebrews is a revolutionary book. Boy, because everything revolves around Jesus. Matter of fact, that's the title of my sermon this morning. Who is Jesus? Say that with me. Who is Jesus? Well, the theme of Hebrews is, we already know what that is. 13 times it says that Jesus is better. Amen? And the word better there used in the Greek means he is superior. He's superior, we're going to learn soon, next Sunday, the Lord willing. He's superior to angels. He's superior to Aaron. He's to Moses, to the Levitical priesthood. He is better than anyone and anything because he's Jesus. Amen? Man, Hebrews is about a better covenant based on better promises, a better mediator, which is our Lord, our high priest, and so forth. So I pray that you seize our studies and act upon them and so forth. Now listen, we are about to enter into what I consider holy ground. And I don't care, like I said in the early service, Pastor Chuck could, or anybody, but I'll just use Chuck. He's a great teacher of God's word. Amen? He's in heaven right now. If he should appear, he would be very upset, I can promise you. But if he could stand right here, he would tell you this. No man on earth can teach these verses perfectly, because they're beyond anything we can even comprehend. He is infinite and we are finite in the sense of our being right now. Does that make sense? Man, and I look at these verses and I have to just, Lord, I humble myself. I don't know. Lord, that's why I prayed. Lord, you make your word powerful. I don't have to make it powerful. Amen. So with all that being said, let's begin quickly, verse 1, and let's get into our study this morning on who Jesus is. It says, God, who at various times, or in many different parts, if you will, various ways, he spoke in times past to the prophets. Well, he did that. How did he do it? Well, angels and visions and so forth, the burning bush, and we learned that last time we were together. And it says, in these last days, God has spoken unto us, the author, of course, who's writing it, the Jews of that day, and to every generation. He has spoken to us by his Son, whom he, meaning God, has appointed heir, or has appointed Jesus, heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. So we left off last time with that Jesus, our Lord, man, he is the last word. He is the final word to mankind. Amen? And he's better than the prophets. Jesus is better than everything. Matter of fact, Jesus is prophet, priest, and king. Amen? Meaning high priest. Now, so the emphasis of our text is very important. God is going to do something through the writer. He's going to give us seven things, or seven facts, or we can call them affirmations of who Jesus is. Who is Jesus, the Son of God? Who do you, when you think of Jesus, how do you, who is he to you? Well, he's my Savior. Of course he is. But I want you to look at this text, and boy, this is so deep. This is so good. Who is Jesus? Look at the very first thing of the seven. It says, he is what? Heir. That means lawful owner. He is heir of how many things? It's all things, a big word. You can talk to me. The first service, they're kind of, you know, but you, I love you, okay? No. No, he's heir of all things. What does that mean? It means that Jesus, the Son of God, he owns it all. He owns absolutely everything. How did this happen? The Son of God left heaven and became the Son of Man. Amen? Yes. Now listen, heirship always goes with sonship. So here, I mean, he owns everything. Now listen, let's just think about that for a moment. The air that you're breathing, is it your air? Did you create it? No. We can't really create anything except confusion, you know? No, listen, it's on loan. That air is not yours, it's his. Matter of fact, your body belongs to him. Why? He created you. Do you understand? Your mind, everything, your home. Well, I'm paying for it. Oh, yeah, but he's going to, I know. Your future. He owns your future. He owns your eternal future. Do you understand? Jesus owns absolutely everything. Man doesn't really own a thing. You remember the promise in the Messianic Psalm in Psalm 2 that God, what he promised unto Jesus. Let me read it to you in Psalm 2:8. God the Father says, ask of me and I will give you, meaning Jesus, the nations for your inheritance. And listen to this. And the ends of the earth for your possession. No earthly king has ever received a promise like that, but Jesus the Messiah. Amen? Now listen, how about the earth? The psalm says in Psalm 24:1, it says the earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness, and the world, and those who dwell therein. Now, does Jesus own everything? Yes, he does. Putin thinks he owns everything, okay? And, you know, he's Putin around up there and on the Ukraine, and you know, he's just a bunch of hot wind. You know what I'm trying to say? No, he doesn't own a thing. How about this verse? Psalm 50, verse 10. God says, every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. The cattle on a thousand hills. Have you ever been out to the 66666 Antichrist Ranch? No. The 666, ever heard about that, right? Do they have a lot of cattle? Hello. But guess what? They think they own them. But no, God says, no, I created them. I own them because I own all things. Amen. How about this one? This is good. Haggai 2:8. God says, the silver is mine. The gold is mine, saith the Lord. You don't tell that to Bezos or Bezos or Gates or Eli Musco, whatever his name is. They don't own it. They think they own it, but they don't. Listen, I'm going to ask you a question. The Bible tells us, well, let me just say, did you bring anything into this world? No. How did you come into this world? Did you come in a suit and $1,000 in your pocket? No. The Bible tells us, remember what Paul said? You brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that you're not going to carry anything out of it. Amen? Yeah, see, Jesus owns it all. That's why Paul the Apostle, writing to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 3:21, he says this, don't look at men. And he says, don't worry at what they have. He says this, for all things are yours. Why are all things ours? because all things belong to Jesus. Amen. And we are co-heirs with Christ. Amen. Oh, that excites me. Now, okay, if Jesus, and he is the heir of all things, the reason is because he made all things. Look at it there in verse 2. Whom also, or through whom also, he, meaning Jesus, made or literally created the what? The worlds. You notice that it says the worlds plural, okay? Now, that's not the cosmos, okay? The universe and everything in the sense here. This word worlds tells us who Jesus is. The word is ion in the Greek. He created the ions, or he created all of the ages, if you will. Space and time and matter and energy, the universe, everything there is in time, the past, the present, the future, every minute, every second, every hour of every day. Listen, Jesus did it all. He created what we live in. Does that make sense? He created all the epochs of the ages and so forth. Now, with all that being said, that tells us something. Jesus is in control. Amen? Amen. See, history is his story, isn't it? Yes. So Jesus created all of the ages from the beginning of time all the way till it ends. And he created everything that is here. He created for a purpose, or he gave a purpose for it. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season. A season is a fixed portion of time. To everything there is a season and a time. That's when it starts, a time period, a time for every purpose under heaven. Listen, Jesus, everything he does, he has an exact purpose. He has an exact season. He has an exact time for everything that happens during the epochs of the ages. Does that make sense? Nothing escapes him because he's the one who created everything. You know, a lot of people tell me, I should have been born, you know, back in the days of the outlaws, or, you know, I should have been at OK Corral, or, you know, I should have been a cowboy. And, you know, well, you, no, you, if you were, you, no. Listen, if you were supposed to have been that, you would have been born back then. Does that make sense? You were born at the exact perfect time in history. Does that make sense? You have a purpose for the generation you're living in. You don't have a purpose to be Marshall Dillon. Does that make sense? No, it's, do you understand? You know, listen, I was born at the exact right time I was supposed to have been born. You know, I was part of the hippie generation. Now, you guys today that are young, you couldn't do it. You couldn't be the flower child. Because you just don't have it in you, okay? You know what I mean? You don't do it. But see, my generation, we could, because that's what we did. It was for an exact time. Now, it was exactly wrong, you know, make love and not war. I mean, it was a bad time. But are you following me? Good. Thank God. All right. Jesus created all things. It says in John 1:3, all things were made through him. And listen now. And without him, nothing was made that was made. All things. Is that a big word? That is a huge word. Not one single thing that exists came into being except through the will and the wisdom of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now listen to me. Nothing exists independently of him. Do you understand that? Nothing, absolutely nothing. Jesus created everything. All the laws that hold everything together and keep us on this planet, all the laws, the gravity and motion, all the things, Jesus created them all, and they all reside in him because he is the one who created it. Man, and I think, oh Lord, how did Jesus do this? Are you ready for this? How did he do all of it? He just opened his mouth and he spoke. Are you ready for this? Hebrews 11:3. It says, by faith we understand, church, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Jesus spoke. Now listen, so that the things which are seen, the mountains, the birds, the stars, the sun, the moon, everything that you see, the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. We live, are we on planet Earth? Yes. We live on a planet that was spoken into existence. I don't know how that makes you feel. That's who Jesus is. Jesus just simply spoke it into existence. He called into existence which had absolutely no prior existence. There was nothing until God spoke. And you know what? There is not one scientist, there is not one person on this earth that can tell you how to make something out of nothing. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Psalm 33:9, it says, He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. I mean, when I think about that, loved one, listen to me. He just spoke, light be, and it appeared from nothing. No, listen to me. He spoke a word, just a word. Stars. Do you understand the power? I mean, does that boggle your mind? I mean, I think about just a word. A word. He spoke a word and it appeared. That's who Jesus is. That's who our Lord is. Why? Well, He's God. Look what it says in verse 3. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. Who is Jesus? Number 3 here. Who is Jesus? He is the radiance, the brightness, if you will, of God's glory. He's not a reflection, man. He is perfect glory, the true manifestation of God's glory. This is the incarnation we're talking about in John 1:14. And the Word became flesh, dwelled among us. We beheld His glory. And the glory as of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:18. Listen to this one. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. Declared Him. That word means He brought God the Father, who God is, out in the open. Because God wanted to know. He wanted us to know who He is. So we can know Him. Man, it says He is the brightness of His glory. If you were up early this morning, early enough, and probably the second service you weren't, but man, listen, the sun was up a little bit. And it was so bright as it was coming up, you could not look at it. Does that make sense? Well, you can't look at the sun anyway. If you are crazy, you know, it's like, let me go blind myself, right? I mean, can you think of the brightness there? Jesus is the glory, the radiance of God, because He is God. Man, you know, the Jews in the wilderness, they experienced the visible or the Shekinah glory of God. There was a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. Amen. They were the only nation on earth that had that privilege. Can you imagine seeing that? And one, you know, is Jesus the light of the world? Is Jesus the eternal light? Yes. One day, when you know what we're going to see when we get to heaven? Is there going to be, oh, look at the sun over there. Are you going to see a sun in heaven?
No.
How about that moon? Oh, look at the beautiful. No. Where are we going to get our light from?
Jesus.
It says the Lamb is its light. Jesus is the radiance of God the Father. And not only that, look at this now. Number 4, who is Jesus? He is the express image. That word is only found there in the Greek, or here in the New Testament, rather. The express image, meaning the character, if you will. The express image of His person, of God's person, meaning His nature. Jesus said in John 10:10, the Father and I, we are one. In Colossians 2:9, Paul says that Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So Jesus, when it says here, He is the exact image, it means He is the perfect imprint, the exact representation, the full embodiment of God as God really is because Jesus is God. Does that make sense? And I go, oh, Lord, you are incredible. So when we think about all the things, this express image of God, remember what Paul the Apostle said in Colossians 1:15? He says that Jesus is, didn't say he was going to be, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. The image of the invisible God. Who is Christ? Who is Jesus? Well, Jesus is the visible expression, amen, of the invisible God. What did Jesus tell Philip in John 14:9? He said, Philip, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Now, these words that we're studying, these scriptures, I hear people say bad things about Jesus, or that he is this, or he's a son of Lucifer, his brother, all these cults and all the rest of it. For any person, any generation, any seminary, any person to say anything less about Jesus, what we just read, is blasphemy. Yes. And it's evidence of a blinded mind by the devil. Do you understand? Jesus is the image, the self-image. He is God in the flesh. He's the God-man. And look what he does. Upholding, verse 3, upholding all things, not some things, upholding all things. But look how he does it. By the word of his power. So number 5, who is Jesus? Well, Jesus is the one who holds all things together, carries everything along. The word upholding literally means to maintain something or to carry something along. So listen now, everything that there is, all things maintain their consistency in one person. His name is Jesus Christ, and he is carrying all things to an appointed end. Do you understand? He's bringing a conclusion one day to everything that he's created. Why? He rules and governs the world, the universe, everything that there is. That's who he is. The Bible says in Colossians 1:16, it says, all things, that's a big word, isn't it? All things were created through Jesus and for Jesus. That means that all things began with him and all things are going to end with him. It means that everything that there is maintains their consistency in him. Why? Because everything depends on him. Does that make sense? Everything. Loved one, everything. Everything right now. Everything you see. The air that you breathe, the world, the universe, the stars, everything maintain their consistency in Christ. Boy, that's who he is. Everything serves him, whether you think you are or not. He is the King of kings and he is the Lord of lords. And I say, oh Lord, listen, everything that we see began with a command, his command. Everything. And everything will end at his command. Jesus is Lord. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning and he is the end. And not only that, when it says he is the end, that means that Jesus Christ is the goal of history, the goal of mankind, the goal. He is the end of all things. Let me give you the scripture, Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that means when the completion of history comes, as we know it, that he might gather together, meaning God, might gather together in one, now listen carefully, all things, there's that big word again, all things in Christ, everything in creation, if you will, both which are in heaven and that which is on the earth in him. Colossians 1:16 again, for by him, meaning only Jesus, by him, all things, there's that big word again, all things were created that are in heaven, that are on the earth, visible, things that we can see, invisible, those that we can't see, whether there's thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. What are all those words? What do they mean? They mean angels, fallen angels, cherubim, seraphim, whatever God has created. It says, and Jesus, he is before all things. He has the preeminence. He has always been. It says he's before all things. Now listen, and in him, all things, not some things, in Jesus our Lord. You want to know who he is? In him, all things consist. Meaning Jesus holds everything together. Scientific theories do not hold all things together, loved one. Listen, all things, everything that there is right this very moment are being held together by one person, and it is Jesus Christ our Lord. All things, everything. He is the personal sustainer of everything that there is. And matter of fact, the scripture I just read, the word consist, hold, meaning hold together, is present tense in the Greek. That means he continues to hold all things together. And if he ever stopped holding all things together, what would happen? You would learn what the word chaos really means. Because everything in this universe would fall apart. Why? Because the universe is his. He directs and he maintains creation. Listen to me. This right now, there are things, I know you're not going to like this, but it's true. There are things flying around in here. You cannot see them. There's some kind of weird things on your seat right now. They're unseen. You'd have to have a microscope to see them crawling across your leg. But am I telling you the truth? He controls and maintains every unseen thing right now. He is in perfect control. He knows everything about everything because that's who Jesus is. And he is guiding his universe to its final destiny because, again, history is his story. Amen. The Bible tells us about Job. You know what Job said in 12:10? He says, talking about Jesus, God rather, he says, in whose hand is the life of every living thing. Isn't that amazing? Everything that is alive on this planet right now, right this very minute, well, he's the one who's given it to them. Not only that, it says, and the breath of all mankind. All mankind. Now, the Bible says in Acts 17:28, it says, for in him, in Jesus, we live, we move, and we have our being. In other words, we exist. How about this one? There in heaven, Revelation 4:11, they start shouting to the Lord, oh, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Let me give you one more. Romans 11:36, for of him, meaning Jesus, and through him, and to him are all things. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen. Now, the screen should be lowering, I think, or maybe it's already lowered, is it? There it goes. Listen, do you think the world is falling apart? No, it's not falling apart. We look at it and we say that, but it's actually falling into place. Why? Because nothing is out of control. He's guiding everything right now, and he maintains everything that exists. Listen, look at that. What is that right there? What is it? Now, listen, I want you to really think about this. What you're seeing right now is from NASA. This is real time. This is not a motion picture. This is from outer space. This is the Earth. This is real time, in real time. And the data, which you can't see, but if you were on that website, you could. The data is real time, too. It is unbelievable. That's a great website, by the way. But look at it. Is that the Earth? And it even has our time, 11:38. I got plenty of time to teach. No, look at that. Is the Earth moving? Think about that. I mean, you know, I look and I say, oh, Lord, it says, now listen, upholding all things by the word of his power. What's keeping that up there? Oh, no, we're on it. I want you to think about it. Hey, listen, we're right there. NASA can see, are you following me? Why? You know what Job said? Listen to what Job said. It says, Job 26:7, he hangs the earth on nothing. How did Job know that? How did Job know that? How did he know? I'll tell you how, the Spirit of God. Listen, he hangs it. How did that happen? How did that get there? Come on. He spoke it. No, you're not getting it. Listen, you got to get this. You see that planet? Do you see the oceans and the Do you see the power? Whoa! Look at that. He spoke. He spoke and it was done. He spoke and listen to me now. He made all of that out of nothing. Do you hear me? Our God, our Savior, let there be light. There was no light before, and light was. He upholds all things by the rhema or the power of the dunamis and the rhema of His word. He's holding you together right now. Do you know why? Because you're the most important thing in the universe to God. He's holding you together. You know what? Jesus, the one who upholds all things, will never relax His hold upon you. No, never. Listen, the whole universe hangs right now on the Word of God for its moment-by-moment existence. Man is not self-sufficient. Do you understand that? Our daily life, our existence hangs entirely upon Jesus keeping us together. Does that make sense? And I say, oh Lord, look at that planet. Do you know how fast we're moving right now? I mean, we're there. We're on that planet. Do you know that we're moving 67,000 miles an hour? Do you think about that? And here we go. I don't feel it. It's going to take us traveling at that speed to make one revolution around the sun. Okay? 365 days. Does that make sense? When you walk outside and the sun, which is whatever it is, I don't know, 90-something, and the sun hits your body, do you know that it takes 8 minutes for the light of the sun to hit you? The light that keeps coming down? Think about that. Well, listen, Jesus, he spoke it. He just said it. And there it is. You say, Bill, you're really laboring. I am laboring. You know why? Because I look at it and for example, you know, we see that earth right there. And what's on the outer, what do we call the outer layer of earth? Crust. Thank you. You guys go to school? It's the crust. How deep is the crust of the earth? You drove this morning, you know, I'm on a highway, you know. No, you're on God's. God owns it. And He owns the crust of the earth. It's 19 miles down. Think about that. How do you know? I've been there. No. And so, they pulled it up. Look, there, the outer, that's 19 miles. And what's the next one that we have right there? That's the mantle. And the mantle, man, the next layer, it's 18,000 miles thick. Think about that. 1,800 miles thick. Think about that. And then the next one, you have your outer core. Ooh, it's 9,000 degrees, and it's 1,400 miles thick or whatever that one is. And then it's full of nickel and iron and all that. And then you have right there in the middle. See the middle one? Right there? You know what that is? Do we not have any teachers here? That's the inner core. And the inner core is solid, and it's nickel and iron, and it's in a radius, and they say it's in a radius about 759 miles. Now listen, who created that? And only God can create or destroy what He creates, not man. Are you listening to me? Only God. And I look and I say, oh Lord, I tell you, you know, how did that happen? He just spoke. I don't know, does that blow you away? Let me see the earth one last time before you take, Do you see the pain? Do you see the wars? Do you see the people starving? Do you see the Christians living everywhere, but they're not telling people about Jesus? We live on a world that's full of chaos and confusion that God spake. He just spoke. There was nothing. He just spoke, and he is our God. Are you listening to me? And I say, oh, Lord, you are so good. You just spoke it. Now, listen to me one more time. When Jesus spoke, let me back up. Have you ever spoke to your child? Okay, and you speak, and you go, Johnny, stop doing that. Yes, Daddy. Johnny, I thought I told you. Oh, I'm going to, Daddy. Do you follow me? Not much power there. And you, and then you finally, when he sees your veins bulge, he knows I'm going to leave him alone now because I'm going to get it. See how much effort I had to put into that to correct him? God puts absolutely no effort. Everything he does is without difficulty. Everything he does is without effort. He speaks and it is instantly done. Do you understand? And I say, oh, Lord, this is deeper than anything. So if that is the true, and it is true, I'm going to ask you a question. Is Jesus enough for you? Is he really enough, church? Come on, let's be honest this morning. Is Jesus enough for you? I mean, is he enough for your fears and your worries and your problems and your hurts and your needs? Who knows your heart more than Jesus Christ? No one. Oh, listen, then why are you trying to hold all things together? Why are you worrying? Why are you worried about anything? Hey, look, all Jesus has to do is speak, and it's done. You're in Christ. Do you understand? We don't have to worry. We just have to believe the promises of God. You know what Job said? Listen to Job. Listen, he said in Job 42:1, Job said to the Lord, he says, I know, that's an important word, I know that you can do everything. Do you believe that, church? No, come on. Then why do you toss it turn during the night? Job says, I know with all of my being that you can do anything. He said, and no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Church, do you believe that? Yes. I mean, I say, oh God, you know what he just said? No one can ever frustrate and prevent and stop the perfect will of God. No one can stop the purposes of God. No person can stop the plans of God. Why? Because of who Jesus is. He is omnipotent. He is all powerful. Amen. Listen to me. Someone said it this way. There is nothing outside God which is possible in itself. That is a great word. Loved one, listen. Jesus, who he is and what he has done. Number six, look at it. Who is he? Well, it says here, when he had by himself, no one else, just Jesus, by himself purged our sins. He did that on the cross on earth. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high in heaven, loved one. So who is Jesus? He did something that no one else can accomplish. He has cleansed our sin. Do you know how filthy sin is? I mean, think how degrading a task that is. How would you like to be a sewer cleaner? How would you like to go clean out the sewers in Dallas? Not Fort Worth, we're clean over here, but over in Dallas. You understand? Think about that. How degrading. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It says that when he had, look at it, when he had, that's the tense there is aorist. Which in the Greek it means it's a one-time act that completely, a past completed act, and it's meaning Jesus, what he did is finished. Amen? He did it by himself. That means that Jesus was not only, he was the offering by himself. He was the sacrifice and also the sacrificer. He was the one, he's the high priest. He sacrificed himself and he sat down. What does that mean? It means that when Jesus sat down, our forgiveness, our cleansing of sin was forever accomplished and never to be repeated again. Amen? you see the emphasis in Hebrews here in this text. Later on, it's different. But here, the emphasis is not how this was done or how Jesus did it, but what was done. Jesus went to the cross, and he has cleansed us, purged us from all sin by himself, by his own blood, by his own sacrifice of himself, by means of his death. It is finished. Our sins have been wiped away. We're not only completely saved, we are completely forgiven. Amen? I mean, completely forgiven. All the book, Colossians 2:14. Tells us about the handwriting, the book, the requirements. All of our book of sin. I mean, we could all have a book written page after page of sin, couldn't we? It says it nailed that book, that sin debt to the cross. Our debt is paid. Jesus paid the sin of the world. Amen? The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. The wages means sin pays. You earn something. But it says, but the gift, and you can't earn a gift. A gift is given freely. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It says, again, when he purged our sins, look what he did. Number seven, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty upon high. And we're going to really cover this later in Hebrews. But we know what that means. Listen, it's written to the Jewish readers, but we know what this means as well. When in the Old Testament, could a priest, was there a chair in the tabernacle? No. Was there a chair in the temple for the priest? No. In other words, they offered sacrifices for 1,500 years and it never did take away sin. They were atoned for every year. Does that make sense? So the blood of bull and goats can never take away our sins, okay? But Jesus, look what he did. When he entered heaven, he sat down, which means what? His work is finished. Yes, he's there to make intercession for us. Don't forget, for us. But loved one, listen, his mission is accomplished upon this earth. The Bible tells us in Psalm 110:1, it says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. At your right hand. Jesus is at the right hand of God right now. Right now. He has all power. He has all authority in heaven upon this earth. Amen. At the right hand, Jesus, the God-man, he is our great high priest, the forerunner. He's gone before us. He's behind the veil. He's in the real Holy of Holies. Does that make sense? Where the real throne of grace is. He's entered for you and for me. He's there to represent us. That's who Jesus is, loved one. That's who Jesus is. Now listen to me. Do you know who Jesus is? Well, he's in you. He's in you. The one who holds everything together in this universe is in you. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? Do you believe that? 1 John 4:4, what did the apostle of love, what did he say? He said, oh, little children, we know that we're God. We're of God and all that. And he goes, and he says, now listen, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Who's in us? The one who holds all things together. The one who created everything. The one who spoke and it was done. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone be in Christ Jesus, new creation, old things pass away, all things become new. Oh, and I say, oh, Lord, you are the verses we read, who Jesus is. He is in you right now. Philippians 1:6, think about this one. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will what? Complete it. Finish it. Bring it to conclusion. Fulfill the goal until the very day of Christ Jesus our Lord. Then I look and I say, oh Lord, how about this one? Ephesians 3:20, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Here it comes. Now listen, according to the power that is where? In us. The power that is in us right this minute. To him, it goes on to say, be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations. And we're a generation. Listen, joking, but not joking. I've preached in many different churches in the 37 years that I've tried to be in the ministry with the Lord. I've preached in dead churches. I preached 2 weeks in New England before someone even smiled. And then I knew I had revival. I've preached to 2 people at a church service, and one got saved, and they were both 85 years old. And I've preached in services to where I could say what I just said, and the whole church would go crazy. Tambourines would be going off, and handkerchiefs would be flying, and people would be wanting to dance and shout. But we're not. And the truth is that if you understand that, we should be on our face. We should be on our knees. Because who he is, who Jesus is, really is in you. All this power in you. You are a new creation, a new humanity, the church of Jesus Christ, loved one. Oh, listen, the Bible tells us this in Ephesians 1:19. It tells us this, that you may know, Paul's praying, that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power. Here it comes, not in us. We already know about that. He says the God's power toward us. And I go, what? Oh, yeah, the greatness of his power toward us who believe. Who believe. Listen to me. Do you really believe that God, all of God's power, his mighty working power, is more than just in us? It is directed toward us. All the power. Why? We're the church. We're his church. Do you understand? We're his body on this planet, loved one. And I'm telling you, listen, Calvary, who do you say Jesus is? Who do you really say, loved one? Listen, 2023 is our Jordan. It is not a year. It's a Jordan. And we have to wake up. We have to awake out of sleep. All of God's power is directed toward each of us, toward his church. What did Paul the Apostle tell the church at Ephesus? He said in Ephesians 6:10, finally, brethren, be weak in the Lord. He says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We have the greatest good news on the planet. Romans 1:16, the good news is the power of God under salvation. Amen? The good news, the gospel is power. It takes a dead man, a spiritually dead person, and it makes them alive. They walk in a newness of life. They leave the deadness of life to walk in a newness of life. And I look and I say, oh, Lord. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 2:5, it says that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men. The wisdom of man is the spirit of the world. Wisdom of man, but what do we rest in? But rest in the power of God. Do you rest in the power of God? Paul the Apostle, what did he say to the church at Philippi in 4:13? He said this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do we really believe that scripture? Come on, I mean, in all honesty, if I read to you Ephesians 1:20 and following, you know what we would learn? We would learn that Jesus is above everything that can be named in this age and the age to come. He's above every title, every principality, every power, every dominion, every rulership, and all things, boy, have been placed under his feet. And whenever the kingdom age comes, you'll see that happen too. Death is the last enemy to be put away. Loved one, listen, the Bible says that he is the head of the body and we're the fullness of him who fills all in all. If we possess Jesus, we possess everything. Do you understand? We have everything that we need. Where is Jesus right now? He's at the right hand of God, right this very minute. And we're standing on an earth that he spoke into existence. Oh, the power that's there. He is reigning right this minute over everyone and everything. He's the sole head of the universe and the sole head of his church. And here's the deal. If we are in him, we are in union with him. And if we're in union with him, we share his very life. And if we share his very life and his very nature, loved one, listen to me. That means that we live. The one who is living in us is not only the creator of everything, he is also the sustainer of everything and the upholder of all that is. That's who Jesus is. And I say to myself, here in the 21st century, after all these years, I say to myself, why is it in this generation now? Now that we've finally got through the COVID kind of whatever's happened, I don't care. Why is everything so difficult? Why is there such a war? Why is there just... what is wrong? I mean, if we have all of this power working in us and all of God's power working toward us, Acts 1:8, that we're endued with that power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Man, listen, when he fills you with power from up on high, it says, Jesus said, you're going to be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the very end of the age. Paul the apostle, he says, in 2 Corinthians 4:7, he says, and we have, present tense, we have right now, church, we have this treasure in our earthen vessels. This treasure, what treasure is that? Not only just Christ in us, we have the power of God in us. Do you understand? Do you? We have the power of God in us. And here's the thing. We have to ask ourselves, because we are in perilous times. We are in dangerous times. Are we manifesting his treasure to this world? I mean, are we, what God says we have, are we, is it happening? Hebrews is not about quitting. Hebrews is not about slothfulness. Hebrews is not about drifting away from God's word and our responsibility. Hebrews is about running the race and finishing the race. Amen? It's about progressing. It's about pressing on and finishing. And listen, we have a word from God, 2022, 2024. We are in revolution. We are in war. And I fear today we've taken our eyes, and I know it hurts to look at our world. I know it hurts to look at all the things that are happening. We live in a mean time. We live in a vicious time. We live in, people are angry. Do you understand? We live in a filthy world. We live in a filthy land. Our nation, I love America, but listen to me. America is filthy. Filthy music. Filthy movies. Filthy mouths. Filthy minds. And those filthy minds are trying to castrate the minds and bodies of our children. We live in a filthy, filthy land. Proverbs says in 30:12, there's a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet it's not washed from its filthiness. That's who we are. Not us. We're not filthy. We've been cleansed. Amen? Cleansed. But listen, we have to wake up. We have to work. Jesus said, for the night is coming when no man can work. Who is Jesus to us? Come on, church. You know, when I hear Christians complain, do you know that bothers me? And I'm not saying I never complain, but I'm not really a complainer. I like to stop complaining. Do you know what I mean? Did you know that complaining is a sin? Did you know that arguing with God is a sin? Did you know that murmuring is a sin? Did you know the Bible says in Philippians 2:14, it's a command, by the way, we're commanded not to murmur, not to complain, not to argue. And who's argue with what, one another? No, argue with God about the way he's doing things, the way he's working in us in our life. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Well, it's because God is the one working in you. Then he goes, therefore, do all things without complaining and arguing. Arguing with who? God. Can you imagine? We're called the light of the world, but we're going to, I don't like the way you're doing things. We're the salt of the earth. But, well, I don't know, Lord, this is just too much. I don't know. I don't like it. It's too hot, too cold. And yeah. Bill preaches too long. The ambassadors for Christ, miserable. Miserable. No longer fishing for men. Come on. And I look and I say, oh, God, listen. Listen, do you really believe, Calvary? Listen to me now. Do you really believe? Do you really believe who Jesus is? Do you really believe that that power is available to those that believe? I'm going to tell you something. Unbelief doesn't expect a thing. And unbelief doesn't expect it's going to get anything. When Jesus came into Nazareth and there in his own hometown, what did it say in Mark's gospel, the sixth chapter? I don't know. I think it's the sixth chapter, fifth verse, something. What did he say? I could do no mighty works there. You know, I laid my hands on a few sick people. That was it. Why? He could do nothing there. Why? Because of their unbelief. And it says that Jesus marveled. He marveled. Did you know that unbelief stops the power in our lives? God says, why don't you believe me? I can't lie. Why don't you believe me? I sent my son to die for you. I love you. You have a home in heaven. Your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. We have all of this power. Listen, I don't mean this in a mean way. All of us are growing in different areas and so forth. And I don't mean this in a mean way, but do you believe we have the power of God? Yes. Because we're his body, amen? Well, how come you say, but do you have enough power to pray? Did you pray today? Do you have an altar at your home? Do you open your Bibles to your children? Are you training up your children in the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ? And I'm not beating on you. I'm just asking. Those are commands. Amen? Amen. I mean, where's the power? Do we barely have enough power to get to church on time? Thank you. 2023 is our Jordan. Hebrews, perfect timing, perfect book for us. We need to cross over. Cross over, all of us, not just a few of us, all of us. Let me ask you a question one more time. I know it's time to go, but did we just learn that Jesus created the eons, the ages? Yes. Well, that means our age has already been created. He already knows what's going to happen. Amen? Amen? But we don't. May I tell you that he has already gone before us? What do we have to do? Well, see, there's the Jordan. A Jordan is a year, but we're not counting it like a year. It's our Jordan. We have to cross over because Jesus has already crossed over for us. He's already gone into the land. He's already defeated all of our enemies. We just have to believe they're defeated. Do you understand? Everything that we need in the promised land, and heaven is not the promised land. It's right here if you want to make it that way. And it belongs to us. It belongs to us. Why? Because Jesus owns all things. And if Jesus owns all things and you're in him, you own all things. Do you understand? Well, Bill, does that mean I'm going to have a Cadillac and be rich? Stop it. No, listen, we have to cross over because he is waiting for us. Come on, Bill. Come on, Calvary. There's an adventure and it's waiting. You've never passed that way before. It's waiting for you. January. Is this still January? Well, it's got to be toward the end, isn't it? Well, we got to go across now. And we have to do it with one another. All of us, not leaving any of us behind, loved one. Listen, Jesus told us, he said, listen, if you want to come after me, here's the deal. Just deny yourself. Come on, deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. Follow me. And he says, you know what happens when you follow him? Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And he who follows after me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He's already there. He's already saying, come along. Come with me now. Travel with me. Our adventure is across the Jordan, loved one. It's time to become radical. It's time to believe. It's time to get excited. It's time to be full of the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
It's time right now. Not tomorrow. Today. 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 Right now is the time. And you know what? If you don't know Christ, you can't cross over with us. If you're not saved, you can't go with us. But you can be saved. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If you're here this morning, listen, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, I'm saying, Jesus, save me. Lord, be my Lord. If you've not done that, you can do it right now. You don't have to get out of your chair. You don't have to come to this altar, but you have to lift your hand and put it right back down and say, Bill, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Anyone here that would say, that's me, Lord. I want you to save me right now. Anyone, quickly. Well, Father, it looks like everybody is saved, but I don't know about those online, but if you lifted your hand, listen, you cry out to Jesus right now and just say, Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, save me. And I promise you, He will save you in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word that you have exalted above your very name. I pray that if I said anything that heaven didn't want me to say, oh Lord, let it just fade from their memories. But everything that did come from heaven, let it be established in their hearts and minds in the greatest name in the universe, in the name of our sustainer, in the name of our creator, in the name of the one who holds all things together. Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the church says, amen. Amen. God is good. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? Well, I can tell there's a couple of you who are glad to come to church today. You really, really helped me. Thank you. Only three people have the gift of encouragement here, but I receive it. If I just had one, it was good enough. Amen. Are you ready? This world is going to pass away. This is not our world. Our world is in heaven. Amen?
Amen?
Oh, let's do it. Let's live the adventure, loved one, in Jesus' name. If you're visiting for the first time, I'm going to depart in just a moment over to the main lobby. There's a visitor center. I have a free gift. They'd love to give you. I'd love to meet you as well. If you need prayer, you know, after the song, there'll be people here to pray with you as well. Let's sing to the Lord, shall we? God is so good. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. He's so good to me with all your heart, and I love Him so, and He loves you. I love Him so. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. I love Him so.
He's so good to me. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you in Jesus' name.